and start with the Recreation Committee?
Recreation is Mallory. Yep.
Eric, can you bring a tuxedo and a
Sure. So we have traditionally, the Park District, not really pulled together our food and beverage operations. Each department has done something a little bit different. We thought it would be good to pull all this together, see if we can get a better value if we do this. So I know Amanda and Steven worked together to solicit a proposal from both Coke and Pepsi. Steven, I guess I'll turn it over to you to maybe give us a brief summary here and what our recommendations are.
Yeah, so both these local distributors came to us and presented us with their proposals. Previously, we're all over the map. Facility by facility.
No, this makes sense.
And so what we were thinking was to consolidate everything with one of the vendors, and through our discussions with them, and this has been ongoing for a while. We opened these talks last summer, but we wanted to wait until the new
season. Do we do that much business? I'm sorry.
We do. When you pile it all together, we do quite
okay.
well. Nelson Center and then the zoo in season does really well, too.
The golf. Yeah, yeah.
And there are also these proposals. The one that we ended up picking and recommending to the board, we'll be asking for, I think, a motion later, or we were just going to...
We're in committee.
Next week. But anyway, we ended up, Coke was a much richer offer than Pepsi was. And even though both of them say exclusive, 5-year exclusive contract, if it's a product that they do not sell, we're free to buy it wherever we want. If we want to resell something that they don't carry, we can go get it. So it's kind of semi-exclusive. But if it's a Coke product, it's going to come from Coke.
Fair enough.
And also they have also better services, marketing and service in
the home. Yeah. Their service is much better, and they were, let's say they were very attentive to us.
Lisa?
These are both Teamster contracts. So, Dylan, are you very, very familiar with the companies? And I will say, as a company and customer service-wise, I would say that Coca-Cola is leaps and bounds over Springfield Pepsi.
Agreed, yeah.
We've had everything from billing to, because we order from both as well, to support all of our members, but Coca-Cola, their office, their customer service, everything is really above top-notch over Springfield Pepsi.
Yeah. So to be clear, there's no cash outlay on this, so it wouldn't necessarily require board approval, but we wanted to take it to the board, make sure you're comfortable with it. If the board wants to take a vote on it next week, we can certainly do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Very good.
Okay. Perfect. Looks like we're going to get some cool stuff. Great idea. I mean, I think the idea has been kicked around off and on for years, and that you took the ball and ran with it. I'm very appreciative.
Came up with a bunch of ideas on partnership opportunities, like a refillable cup and all that stuff, and the COVID, of course. There's not a lot we could do there, but now that these restrictions are lifted, I think it really opens up some opportunities for it.
Was pricing pretty comparable?
COVID was way better.
Yeah. And Coca-Cola does a lot in the community. I know they've donated a lot to the UTs and some other organizations.
Really? I like that. Thanks, guys.
I may have a comment to make.
You only drink Pepsi?
I'm a Nectar of the Gods guy. I'm a Mountain Dew guy, so I don't know if I can go again. That's like Tom T.
Duly noted, we won't ask you.
Which Mountain Dew is great for
you. You can abstain.
You brush your teeth in it.
It's Mellow Yellow,
but it's...
Mellow Yellow. Those two are not comparable, by the way.
Yeah, they're not.
No, they're not comparable.
It's going to be a tough one. I don't know. I don't know.
I was the events administrator at UIS back in the day, that the promotional things that they will do, Coke, I'm sure, but they'll make banners,
yep.
to give community
yep.
vehicles, anything.
They'll take and combine our branding with theirs, mm-hmm. or whatever we're
yep.
doing.
Yes, that's awesome. I love it.
Thank you,
too. Yeah. And we're talking about window wraps and things of that nature. They have their own printing company that we can do. I mean, they have small format printer, roll printer, sticker cutters, hybrid. I mean, it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, the opportunities we can do here.
I like it.
Okay,
thanks,
we'll see you up for next week.
20 finance. CJ?
Fiscal year 23 budget.
Okay.
Anything that's some words of wisdom for us?
So the budget is still, the Senate budget has been posted per statute. Since February 9th, we ran an ad in Tuesday's paper this week, which will be our statutory burden as well. So the board could consider passing the budget at next week's meeting. We haven't made any changes since last time. I included the same information as February into the March packet. And if anybody has any questions or anything, I'd be happy to address it. If any concerns, something we're missing. I know it's a huge... I have a paper copy with me. If anybody wanted to look at it, it's about an inch thick. So, we'll be asking the board for approval next week if they should see fit. That'd be great. Of course, under no obligation. Once the hearing will be had before our meeting next week, then we're free at the next meeting to pass the budget however we see fit.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything specific they wanted to address?
No, I wanted to just say, Stephen, were there any outliers that really stood out to you, things that decreased or increased dramatically that were outside the norm expectation?
I mean, I can just tell you that the big thing right now is wages. It's our single largest expenditure is wages and benefits, and it's going to continue to be so. I mean, there's no comparison. And other than that, we have strived, and I think to a certain degree of success, to, you'll see in the bond, if you looked at the bond, if you were to look at the bond listing, the bond project listing compared to the last six bond project listings, you would see that we've moved a lot of equipment stuff from the bond into operating.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
So that's kind of our success story. We stopped spending, and there was a previous trustee who really championed this, stopped spending long-term money on short-term things. That was one of Keen's big things.
Yes, it was.
And it made sense. And to that effect, we've done a lot of that. Other than that, there's no single thing that's kind of beating us down other than inflation.
There's no facility closures, no program closures,
nope.
Nothing like that is included in the budget.
The budget is full funding and...
It's a balanced budget. It's a good budget. The board should approve it next week.
is that your opinion? How do you really feel? Okay, thank you. And
Stephen, I will want a copy just so we can make sure.
Better than a bake sale.
I'm all ears. Next one, bond project. That's something that we have not talked about at all. Right? So, guess we should kick off that conversation.
I'm fine with this list.
If you don't mind, can you introduce this a little bit? So there's two items that we wanted to go over tonight. Last time when we met, the board had asked us to put together some funding options, some finance options, what finances would be available to the park district. I think it was in the context of some state or some funding options for the Nelson Center, but it also has broader implications on the organization as well. So Stephen has about a 10-page slide presentation to go through real quick. And then after that, also included in the board packet was the bond list, which includes the board's top five in there. And we've shuffled some money around to put some more money towards those things that the board said were a priority.
I didn't see the money for the pieces, individual pieces of...
Did
I miss that?
It's in the playground additions and repairs district wide. It was we increased it to $50,000.
Okay, so that gives us, and then I have an idea for some additional funds for that.
Nice, I like it.
Okay,
so let's start with this first and see if there's any questions.
Okay, so this is a seminar that I attended when I was in Chicago in January, and it's just kind of a side note. Chapman Cutler is our bond attorneys. So they're actually the attorneys that handle our bond, handle the bond that we just sold. So, I have a question from our office as well. So we have debt questions and options, and then the bond basics. Why are we borrowing money? Obviously to pay for capital projects. We're not doing any refunding this time, although we have done that in the past.
We have.
To save the taxpayer's interest. So often you could borrow to pay for operating needs. We don't advocate that. That's not you couldn't issue a bond to do that, but we don't borrow to pay for operating needs. Because that would be a bad thing. Robbie Peter to pay Paul. So the three fundamental questions, is it politically feasible, financially feasible, and is it legal? Can we just get a loan to the bank? The answer is yes. However, there are strings attached. And I think the key takeaway on this particular slide, other than obviously being lawful and constitutionally compliant, park districts may only exercise powers which are expressly granted by the legislature, which are necessarily implied or incident. If the power to bother is neither expressly granted by statute nor necessarily implied, it does not exist. So you can do this and nothing else. That's it. So we're very limited on our options. And here they are. So general bonds, that are referendum bonds, which is which can be politically hot potato, and then non-referendum bonds, which is what we just issued. Debt certificates, which is something that's specifically applicable to a project, if you will, and it would be tied to that one project. Issue a debt certificate to do this one thing. Alternate revenue bonds, if we can find a way to derive a source of revenue to pay for the debt service on those, and then earmark it, you can do that. And then tax anticipation bonds, which is when you're bankrupt.
On the debt certificates,
yes.
Is that something, I'm specifically thinking about Nelson Center, is that something that goes against your debt cap?
Yes, because all of these would count against the debt service extension base if paid out of levies. So the general obligation referendum bonds would not. That's the one that is totally exclusive of the debt service extension,
right.
Because the taxpayers have said, yes, we'll accept an additional tax to pay for this.
It would raise the DMT.
So a non-referendum bond is absolutely debt certificate also, same thing. Alternate bonds, if you generate alternate revenue to pay it, then it does not affect the debt service extension base. However, if you do not provide enough revenue to pay for the alternate...
It goes against the debt. Yes. So,
I think there's a slide on each one of these.
But I have one other question. Leasing, however, if we were to lease the equipment to improve the Nelson Center.
Yeah.
It does not go against the, because we lease equipment.
It's included. What do they call that? Contract. Yeah.
So you're saying the leases that we do for our equipment go against our debt service?
It should go against our debt service extension base.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think...
Well, then you see, is that by the fair, which is 2.875, this CAE adjusted to CPI, so they adjust it up with inflation, or down. I don't think they do adjust it down.
No.
Ever. It doesn't stay.
Right.
If CPI were negative.
And that's new. It used to not go up. It used to not go up. Yeah.
It was frozen, what year was it, 72?
Oh, I think it was in the 80s, but ever, yeah.
And then how much you could borrow, obviously we're limited by the property tax extension limitation law. You can levy annual taxes up to the DSCB for the payment. Well, I'll give you a little perspective on when we talk about DSCB. When we got our disbursement this month, we got it on March 2nd for the bonds we just issued. Our debt service extension base, we had $17 left to borrow.
Oh, we left money on the table.
I think I got a 20. But That's how close we are. Mm-hmm. So we are taking maximum advantage of our borrowing opportunities right now. And then here you can see, but as Derek alluded to, the GSEB increase in 2020, 2022 by 5%. Again, we're capped at 5, so even though the CPI was 7, we're capped at 5. And then you talk about, here's the different options. The referendum, which, like I said, can be a hot potato, but something,
yeah, well, you can
something to consider. the length of time takes for that. And it is unlimited as to rate or amount. But,
okay.
And then here we have non-referendum bonds, which is what we do, generally speaking. That's our debt. So, and this has been very useful for us. I wish we had a larger depth of sensitivity, but being what it is, we're limited.
Yeah, we don't have control over it.
Nope.
Yeah.
And then we have the debt service. Here's the debt service we talked about. So we'd have to appropriate it annually. It basically would have to come from our levies. And I don't know if we have that available either. And then there's the alternate bonds, which you talked about already. And then
could we use, if for Nelson Center, could we use the skate rink funding? Obviously, would defer from other things, but could we use the skate rink money to pay back alternate revenue bonds so that it wouldn't impact our debt service cap?
Yeah, so you would have to generate enough revenue out of the Nelson Center to meet or exceed the debt service.
Right.
That's what we did 20 years ago, and in those 20 years...
It went down, yeah.
But we never
there was a gap. But so the revenue... If you don't need it...
You extend the levy.
No, I understand. Let me finish. If you don't need it, then is the whole thing, the whole bond payment, or is it just the portion over which it is exceeded? Is it the gap?
It's the whole bond payment. Yeah, so Nelson, that's what we have done at Nelson Center. We have generated revenue out of Nelson Center. However, we've not abated tax, so we've extended that full tax. The other example would be Aaron's Pavilion because we paid that service from the SRA funds. We do generate some money at Aaron's Pavilion, but we still levy that tax. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good question. I see where you're going. It's just
they don't cut you, don't give you a little credit.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was asking.
I know what you're saying.
Pick up the difference, right?
No, they don't. It's going to be either going to be in one bucket or the other.
Yeah.
Got it.
There's no split.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get creative here.
Yeah.
And then this again, refunding bonds. Refunding is, to me, refunding and restructuring, that's for saving the taxpayers' money. That's really what that
is. Which is what we've done that.
Yeah, and we have done that.
When interest rates dropped, We refunded all the way to bond.
In 2016 with the Aaron's bond, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then,
I think rates are going to go in the other way, though.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're broke.
Maybe less.
And we're not.
Maybe five.
Like
that.
That is probably easier to pay Paul. So...
So when we pay off the remaining Aaron's bonds, and however much longer that is.
So those are revenue bonds.
Yeah.
Right.
And those do not count against the debt service extension base because the revenue pledge was from the disability fund levy.
So you're going down the right path. So what we could do at that point in time, we could either lower property taxes and lower that levy, or we could continue that levy is where it's at, and then we would have some additional funds to do various improvements that would have to be limited to...
breaking down barriers.
Yeah, eliminating barriers for people with special needs.
But, which I love, but if we shifted some, I was just thinking, if we shifted some of the funding currently that we don't necessarily have room for in the SRA fund to from the projects that are currently on our general obligation bond,
mm-hmm.
that would then free up money. If you push some of these things that we're already doing over here, that frees up money over here for things like the Nelson Center. I'm just trying to figure out where do we find the room.
We already do that.
I'm sure you do. I know you do.
If I see a project that qualifies for disability funds, I'm working with this guy over here, and I'm saying, cook that here.
No, I understand. But I'm just saying from a bond issuance perspective, when we pay off Aaron's, it's going to free up some funding that can move some things perhaps from over here because we've paid off that debt.
So, but that's not part of the DSCV because we're using our alternate anyway. So that has no impact on the DSCV. It has impact
but
on
it,
operations.
But it, what it does is it frees up money. Yes, it frees up money. We could reissue.
No, because it's not part of the DSCV.
Yeah,
I see where you're going, but it's because it frees up operational dollars. So, in other words, this bond, anytime we put projects...
I get what you're saying.
The whole district submits bond projects, and then
I get that. I'm just thinking that maybe there are some operational funds. Never mind.
It's a good thought process.
I'm just trying to move the pieces around the puzzle so that at the end of the day, we free up room where we need it for this improvement.
It would be nice to use the disability fund for operations, but we're limited to using those for operations that are... We could use it for operations, but only to the extent...
No, I understand. It's required. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there was room to move things around so that are appropriate.
Here's what I would say. There's two ways to do that. One is to free up money in the bond. And So when staff puts forth all of our bond projects, before we even submit it to the board, we pull out anything that's disability related because we know we have this alternate funding source that we're talking about. So the board never even sees those on the list. So we're already doing that.
Got it.
So what it would do is free up operational dollars. And you're right, is there anything else we could push towards operational dollars that we're now using general funds for?
Because the money isn't available because it's going for debt service.
That's the right question. The answer is no. because we already do that.
Okay, we're going to ask the question.
No, it's a good question, but we already do that as well.
That's
all the
fair.
Operational stuff.
I'm not at all surprised. You guys, you're always thinking, but I'm trying to find a reasonable funding source for this project.
Yeah.
That's all.
Understood.
So we have left for this bond, we just got this money, $2.4 million. There was a little additional funding that was paid in the market for the bond, but it was paid, it came across, it was like $12,000. It came across, it was actually engineered as such as prepaid interest. So it just goes straight into debt service. So we don't get to spend it. We did get to spend it. We get to spend it on the first interest payment.
I want to say I did notice the additional funding for pickleball. I'm glad to see that. And I also noticed additional funding, well, Derek pointed out to me, I didn't initially notice it, the additional money for playground equipment because I really want to do the thing that Chris has been talking about, which is
something new.
And I want to, I think that he's on point with that, and I'm glad to see that we put some money in there for that.
So just real quick, so the board submitted their top five, and Stephen's organized this spreadsheet by the board's top five. So you see one, and then two was Park, was Kiwanis, so both those are Kiwanis projects. That's why
there's
a duplicated in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the board's top five is on there, and then I wanted to point out the comment column on the far right. Since this was presented to the board last month, based on the board's top five, we have made some adjustments wherever possible. So you can see from the structural repairs at Carillon, which are important, we had originally appropriated $75,000. we originally appropriated $50,000. We reduced that by $25,000 to be able to put some more money towards the board's priorities. We also know we need to have new signs in our parks. Somebody just ran over the Duncan Park sign, the brand new one, $5,000 sign this past weekend. Murphy's hot on their trail.
Go get them, Murphy.
We're setting expectations for you, aren't I? So, but we've eliminated the $25,000 for the signs. The board's kind of, you know, had given that direction in our last meeting. And then we increased, as Leslie said, we put another $25,000 towards playgrounds for a total of $50,000. Now, again, just to be very clear, that's not an entire new playground.
No, it's a piece.
It's a component in different parks, and it also is to repair our existing playgrounds that we know continue to break down, and we always put some money towards that. The $50,000 for pickleball, that was the additional bond proceeds that we realized above what we thought was going to be a 2.4 or 2.35, ended up being a $2.4 million issue. And then we increased the pool, and upgrades were important to the pool, to the board, so we put another $25,000 in there. I also wanted to point out that the board, all felt that playgrounds were important, and I just wanted to remind everybody that we have the Kiwanis Park redevelopment includes a playground. It would be a nice, big, new, shiny playground, which is wonderful. So we're still able to accomplish that.
And we're
going
to do one in
that. We're going to do one, likely. I didn't hear anybody tonight say, take the playground off the list.
No, I didn't hear that.
We're going to do a playground at Eunice, too.
We have a new partner, Ron Yardis, too, who's going to be putting some money into that stadium as well as us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
Yep.
No, good job. I mean, I really do appreciate the challenge that you guys have, and you know, I'm looking at that contingency fund, because if we don't need it, then we can have more playground equipment.
I did want to make a note about the contingency fund. You'll see there's no bond cost line item here, so any of the issuance costs, which
will come
be
out of
around contingency. $10,000, probably around $50,000 or so,
yeah,
it's going to come out of the contingency.
Okay. And Jason, just as these are updated estimates based on the ever-increasing cost of construction?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a real thing.
I think there will be overruns on these projects. And that's part of why we have the contingency in there.
I've already spent it in my head. I appreciate this, and does anybody else have any concerns? Why don't we go ahead and we'll push this forward for next week, unless anybody has. And if it's all right with staff, can we do staff updates next week? Kind of a long.
Sure. I would like to just do just a couple quick updates. and I sent out to the board, you all know that I'm out of town next week, so I'm missing the board meeting. Alex, again, apologize to everybody in person. That is a very, very, very rare occurrence. I could not schedule around it, but we'll have everything prepped.
Take your vacation. Will not come off the bus.
We'll have everything
good
prepped.
Staff.
I think the board's all in agreement with the action items next week. I don't hear any big dissension tonight. I will also tell you that just last week there was a piece of legislation that passed out of the House that's going to the Senate. This was one that the Springfield Partnership put together. It's regarding a camera grant program. We're required by law that the state takes a dollar out of every ticket we issue, and they put it into a pot of money that they give back to police departments to help them fund camera grants. We've applied for that grant, and they've disqualified us for a grant because we're not what they believe is a police department. So we worked with IAPD to put together legislation to clarify that a Park District Police Department is, in fact, a police department. There was some opposition. There was some opposition to it, and that's exactly what we responded to them with. So it's out of the House. It's through the Senate. I think there's a really good chance that that's going to become law. So that's a good thing.
Why don't you give us the bill number?
Yeah,
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send
it
to you. I did, but I couldn't. I can't come up with it like that. But I'll send it to you all. Also, next week's meeting is back at Aaron's Pavilion, so everybody's aware.
We also heard
kind
today.
Of
yeah, I told Betsy the same. Today they just made an announcement on the museum grant. As a reminder, we applied for a $750,000 museum grant for the Botanical Garden Conservatory. We were not awarded the grant. There were two agencies in Springfield that were awarded. One was the Kidzium. They got like $650,000 or so, and the other one was it was the city of Springfield for an African museum expansion. So
that is a cool place.
Well, yeah, it's glad that you know,
but,
there's,
but
no, there's
disappointed.
Grant money coming to Springfield. It's too bad it's not us. So we'll continue.
We can't
to
complain too much because we did just get an $800,000 grant 2 years ago, and hopefully we'll get Kiwanis.
Well, that's old news. I'm talking about the future. The other thing that I will mention, you know, we had the legislative conference today, and again, they talked about the Oswald grant. We've talked about it before at this board level. Oswald is funded from the real estate transfer tax. There is more money in real estate transfer last year than there has ever been. So they have a record-setting announcement for Oswald appropriation next year.
When is it going to happen?
It's going to be about $56 million.
When?
I don't have the exact timing. We also have a pending Oswald grant, too, that's out there for Kiwanis Park that I got to think they're making an announcement.
We have to keep trying.
Yes,
I mean, it's our obligation to try and put forward the best that we can, and it's their obligation to see that.
We'll continue to do it.
You know.
There were $48 million. I don't know if you remember that number, Chief, but I think there were about $48 million worth of requests from the last cycle, and there were $28 million worth of funds. Now they're going to appropriate $56 million. So we have, I think anybody that submits an Oswald next year is going to have a really strong shot at receiving funding. So we're ready.
Is this for the Kiwanis cycle or the next cycle?
The next cycle.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's get on it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's great.
Yep.
That's
thank
awesome.
You.
And great work. I mean, between the budget, the bond issue, you guys, and the grants that we're trying for, much appreciated.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.